He brings flowers after screaming at you for hours. He apologizes tearfully, then checks your phone while you sleep. He tells you you're overreacting right after punching a hole in the wall beside your head. If you've ever wondered why someone who claims to love you can treat you this way, you're asking the question that haunted counselor Lendy Bancroft for 15 years as he worked with over 2,000 abusive men. What he discovered challenges everything we think we know about domestic abuse. The problem isn't anger management, childhood trauma, or alcohol. It's something far more deliberate and chilling. We want to believe abuse stems from lost control, fixable through therapy or medication, but abusers demonstrate remarkable control during explosive moments. They strategically place bruises where clothing hides them. They instantly compose themselves when police arrive, transforming from raging tyrants into calm citizens, while traumatized partners appear hysterical. One abuser, asked why he didn't escalate further, replied, "I wouldn't want to do that. I would end up in jail." That's calculated self-interest, not lost control. The childhood trauma excuse crumbles under scrutiny. Research shows only weak correlation between childhood victimization and abusing women. Abusers favor this explanation because it lets them blame a woman, their mother, for mistreating women. Similarly, alcohol doesn't cause abuse. It provides convenient cover. Abusers sometimes deliberately drink before confrontations to give themselves permission for violence they already planned. Perhaps the most dangerous myth, boosting an abuser's self-esteem, will help. In reality, the more positive attention he receives, the more he demands. Early abuse counselors discovered that public recognition for progress often triggered increased home abuse. Their inflated sense of importance made them feel more entitled. These myths persist because they're comforting. The truth is unsettling. Abuse is a choice rooted in attitudes about entitlement and ownership. Step inside the abuser's mind, and you'll find a worldview built on profound entitlement. He genuinely believes he has special status with exclusive rights, expecting physical caretaking, emotional support, sexual access, deference to his opinions, and freedom from accountability. This entitlement reveals itself most clearly in how abusers handle anger. He reserves rage as his exclusive privilege while denying her the basic human right to be upset with him. When she expresses anger, he uses her emotion as proof she's irrational. The person who screams, throws objects, and punches walls considers her anger the problem. The abuser also mentally reverses aggression and self-defense. When his partner defends herself, he genuinely perceives her as the aggressor. At the core lies profound possessiveness. He believes she belongs to him. This ownership mentality manifests as constant monitoring, demands for accounting of whereabouts, and jealous accusations. Ironically, the most accusatory abusers are often cheating themselves, feeling entitled to affairs while forbidding the same from their partners. Abuse takes many forms, each with distinct tactics but the same core: control and disrespect. The demand man operates from extreme entitlement, expecting his partner's life to revolve around his needs. He rages over minor inconveniences, dinner 5 minutes late, the wrong coffee brand, and constantly criticizes her for not doing enough. Mr. Right positions himself as the ultimate authority, treating his partner like a student needing his wisdom. He transforms disagreements into battles between intelligence and stupidity, using his voice of truth to define reality until she doubts herself. The water torturer proves anger doesn't cause abuse. He assaults psychologically without raising his voice, using sarcasm and cruel remarks with a contemptuous grin. Mr. Sensitive appears gentle and emotionally aware, but manipulates by demanding endless attention for his emotional injuries while dismissing her hurt with pop psychology phrases. The player initially seems deeply in love, but his interest wanes as his wandering eye becomes obvious, locking onto passing women, flirting openly, generating affair rumors. No psychological test can distinguish these men from respectful partners because abuse stems from values, not psychology, making it both more insidious and more changeable than we'd like to believe. Most abusive relationships begin idyllically. He pursues intensely, making her feel chosen, or withdraws until she wins him over. These wonderful early months create traps. She's praised him publicly, assumes his later abuse stems from something gone wrong, can't abandon her dream, and wonders if she caused the problem. The relationship follows a predictable cycle. During tension building, he mentally collects grievances, nursing resentments, and blaming her for life's frustrations. The eruption phase involves verbal or physical assault, justified as losing control due to her provocations. Then comes the hearts and flowers stage. He feels rejuvenated, brings gifts, and promises change, but his underlying attitudes remain unchanged, so the cycle repeats. The good periods aren't breaks from abuse, they're integral to it. They help him feel good about himself, hook her back in, gather vulnerabilities to exploit later, and shape his public image to make her claims less credible. Why does abuse persist? Because it brings rewards: financial control, career prioritization, public status as a loving partner, approval from like-minded friends, and the privilege of double standards. Children absorb devastating lessons. The target is at fault. Satisfaction comes through controlling others. Boys control while females submit, and people who love you get to abuse you. Can abusers truly transform? Most don't. Even in quality programs, only 20-30% make deep, lasting changes. The rest drop out, superficially comply, or continue abuse more subtly. Change requires external pressure, fear of losing their partner or legal consequences, rather than genuine remorse. Abusers manipulate the change process itself. They use charm, partial admissions, and temporary good behavior to appear transformed while maintaining control. Many attend programs only until achieving specific goals, moving back home, avoiding prosecution, then disappear. Most critically, they refuse to surrender core entitlements, having final say in decisions, controlling finances, demanding sexual access. Couples therapy for abuse can be dangerous. Well-meaning therapists inadvertently echo abusers' attitudes by asking women to examine their part when the real issue is power abuse. The therapist's presence creates false security, leading women to share vulnerabilities that abusers later weaponize. Meaningful change requires firm consequences, clear expectations for respectful treatment, and focusing on one's own healing rather than fixing the abuser. Gentle approaches never work. True change comes only when abusers develop genuine empathy, requiring confrontation of their beliefs about gender, power, and relationships through specialized long-term programs combined with consistent accountability. Leaving an abuser is perilous. They rarely accept it willingly. Sensing independence, abusers deploy promises to change, suicide threats, guilt manipulation, financial intimidation, threats involving children, and violence. They alternate between affection and intimidation, intensifying both as control slips. Separation is especially dangerous. Even psychological abusers may turn deadly. When helping an abused woman, be the opposite of her abuser, patient rather than pressuring, treat her as an equal and expert on her life, respect her self-determination even when disagreeing, and think with her rather than for her. Friends and family have the greatest impact on abusers. When someone you care about faces abuse accusations, don't automatically dismiss them. Nothing would end abuse faster than people stopping their enablement of abusers. Creating abuse-free communities requires collective action, volunteering with programs for abused women, joining activism organizations, bringing education to schools, developing services for children affected by abuse, and protesting harmful media portrayals. You deserve a relationship where love comes without conditions and your voice matters. The abuser won't change because you love him enough. Only when continuing becomes unbearable and he chooses the deep work of dismantling his entitlement. your job isn't fixing him. It's recognizing you deserve better and reclaiming your life.